We're learning this Maimar from the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe Lubavitch, about the first man in the Gan Eden, what was his problem, so to speak. Now we're going to understand, now that we know that there are basically two types of avoida, two types of work. One work is to bring down light from God into the world, etc. Another work is to refine the world in order for it to be able to have light of God, etc. So with this, we're going to understand, this is a classical expression that we say in the davening, in the prayers of Yom Tov festivities. There, when Mashiach comes, speedily in our days, etc., we will do like the commandments of your will. That's what it says. Mitzvahs Retzenecha. Whatever you say, God, no? Whatever you say we have to do, then we're really going to do it. What does that mean? That today we don't do it? We fulfill commandments anyway. Why does he say that when Mashiach comes, we're going to fulfill the commandments as you want? Those are too many words in one small word. Since in the days of Mashiach, there will be a refinement of the world. What's in parentheses is just a reference where he got this idea from in a discourse of his father, the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Chabad Rebbe. Gam bebale chayim atorfim temigrim el klipes atmeyes. There will be a refinement even in the animals they kill other animals to eat, that they come from the most impure things. Gibel klipes atmeyes, the three levels of impure shells, whatever. Even that is going to be refined. Because she can be klipas noiga, how much more so those creatures, animals, etc., that come from a shiny klipa shell, whatever that means, not so impure. Vehem benevesh habamis, also in the animal's soul, there will be a refinement. How do you know that? Because it's written, v'asiroisi leva even, I will take out the stone heart, leif basar. He's just quoting very short ideas to be faster, so to speak. The prophet says that God is going to give us, I think it's in Yirmiyahu, God is going to give us a flesh heart. Ve'yor az gilu yor haneshama. And then when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a revelation of the light of the soul. And with the parenthesis also saying, in that chapter of that discourse from my father, Betzal Meinu Kidmusen is going to be really, really to the image of God, and we're going to recognize our Creator. This is also part of the davening of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Every single creature is going to know God. That's what it's written. Wow. And then, when Mashiach comes, our job will be again, as it was in the beginning for the first man, to project light. Not to refine the world. The world is going to be refined already, so we have to project the light. That's what it means, kemitzvas retzaynecha. That's what it means, that the commandments that we will fulfill when Mashiach comes, they will be really like God really wants. Today we fulfill a commandment, we don't see the revelation of God. So it's not really kemitzvas retzaynecha, it's not really as you want. Now, it's whatever the time allows us to do. But when Mashiach comes, it's going to be really like you want. Like the first intention of God was, in the first place, to project light. So, in the previous paragraph, explaining that there are two types of jobs, bringing light and refining the world, he's explaining like part of the prayers, which is actually a concept. The concept is, when Mashiach comes, we're going to go back to the original intention of God of bringing light to the world. And not only that, the same thing happened in the temple, in Yerushalayim, etc. Tiksiv, as it's written, Bosi Legani, I came to my garden, Lignuni, to my private garden, Shehaya Kemoya Gan Eden. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, was the same kind of idea as in the paradise, Gan Eden. Just as in paradise, we have those two levels that we spoke about, like the paradise itself. and the Tosefes light, the additional lights that we bring into the paradise, kemoken bebeis hamikdash. The same thing happens in the temple. Ma'alosei be'etzem, b'chinas gilu shem avaye, the level itself of the Beis HaMikdash, which means the revelation of the holy name of God with four letters, etc., etc. So we're going to bring a few proofs to that. Yedea haya Betzalel, he brings by Betzalel. Betzalel was the main constructor, so to speak, of the Mishkan in the desert, of the tabernacle in the desert. And our sages say that how did he build all this thing? Because he knew how to mix and fix and interchange, etc., the letters of the name of God to build things. So that means that the Mishkan, the tabernacle, had some kind of revelation of the name of God. Because Bezalel knew this name of God, and he built it with the name of God. And he continues with other proofs, to prove actually the same point, that in the Beis HaMikdash there was a revelation of God. Belachshav machshoveis, he knew how to think thoughts. And that's the literal translation. It means that Bezalel, the simple meaning means that Bezalel knew how to build the different things that God commanded. But here the Rebbe is bringing a much deeper explanations. Why does it say machshoveis, thoughts? That means the letter of thought. That means Shem Havayah. That means the holy name of God. This is the second proof, so to speak, that the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was built with the name of God. Therefore, there was a revelation of the name of God in that place. Ubeveis HaMikdash, and in the temple, Miyad Havayah Olai Hizkil, he brings another proof. In the temple, the David HaMelech said, King David said, that I got the plans, the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash from God. Miyad Havayah, from the hand of God, so to speak, he made me smart and made me understand how to build this temple, the blueprints. So again, another proof. When Yaakov was traveling, going from Be'er Sheva, the south of Eretz Israel, into Haran to get married with the four wives, etc., etc., he stopped in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple, and he said, oh, effectively, there's a name of God over here. So again, same idea. In the place of the temple, the name of God was revealed. Umakam HaMikdash, Haya Makam Ra'u L'Gilui. The place itself of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple, was a place ready for the revelation of God. Kemekarka Gan Eden, was just like the earth, the land of Gan Eden. The same thing. So he just compared Gan Eden with all the revelation and bringing lights and projecting lights and the first work that man had to do with Beis HaMikdash, with the temple, tabernacle and the temple. Basically the same idea. With this idea that I just told you, you're going to understand a different verse. The verse that Shlomo HaMelech said when he inaugurated the temple, the first temple, he said, the verse is cut here, but the Rebbe means that Shlomo HaMelech said, the heavens and the heavens of the heavens cannot contain you, God. And then he asked, even this house is going to contain you. Like, there's nothing that we can say that contains God, because it's infinite. And that, therefore, Shlomo HaMelech was like rhetorically asking, this house is going to contain you? It's not possible. The Atmiya, what's the question? What's the problem? Like, there's no spiritual, there's no physical thing that can contain God, of course. I can't say God is into this cup, and he's not there, whatever. Can't contain the greatness of God. But not just because it's a physical place. Rather, because even in a spiritual world, it can't contain God. It doesn't really matter whether it's a physical thing or a spiritual thing. So what's the question Shlomo HaMelech is asking? Oh, the heavens cannot contain you, because they are heavens, they are so big and so nice, they can't contain you. This house cannot contain you. Is he talking about just physical things? Spiritual things? What's the question? So the Rebbe explained that to me, the question is Mitzad HaMoke, the place. Like, why, what's the question of Shlomo HaMelech? Why would this particular place where I'm building a temple, or I just built a temple, will contain you? what's the difference between this place or anywhere else? That's what he's asking. Of course, no spiritual thing can contain God. Of course, no physical thing can contain God. Forget it. But the end line, whatever, is that Shlomo HaMelech built a temple in that particular place. That's the truth. So he's asking himself, why would this place be different than any other place? And the Rebbe continues, Eich nizkav l'amokim hazeh, how can God be like received, contained in this place? V'ateretz, and the answer, what is the answer? Lefishi amokim iti, because the place is with me. The Rebbe is mixing so many verses from so many different places, putting it all together. But what the Rebbe is saying is, that's a special place. Different than anywhere else in the world, that's a special place that is together with God. What does it mean, together with God? We'll jump the parenthesis because it's only a reference to a different discourse. She'amokim batel. That place was annulled to God. The mokem amikdash haya batel elokus. The place of the Beis Hamikdash was completely annulled to God. Was one with God. That's why that particular place could contain God. And therefore, because that place was, so to speak, annulled to God, that place was ready for the revelation of light. And again, what was Gan Eden? Originally, revelation of God. Beis Hamikdash, revelation of God. Oh, you see, it's the same thing. The idea is exactly the same, just to reveal the presence of God. And what happened inside the Beis Hamikdash, the temple? Through the work of offerings in the temple, there was a revelation of the infinite light of God, literally. That's what happened. And also, not just the temple had received, so to speak, a revelation of God, rather, the whole world received a revelation of God. Again, the parenthesis is just a reference, so we're going to jump it. Through the fact that the priests used to do their works, and the Levim, the Levites, their works, and the Israelim, their works, whatever, is Kalelus Gimel Kavin. There was a joint effort of three lines, Koyanim, Levim, and Israelim. Koyanim usually referred to Chesed, to kindness, the right side. Levim to strictness, that's the left side. And Israelim, like the combination, Tiferes. The beauty of the middle side, so to speak. Through that, Nimshach Oir Elyon. There's a projection of a very high light, whatever that means, a very high energy. Through this, there was a unification of two mystical levels, Zo and Nukva, whatever. Doesn't matter exactly what it is. Umalchus Atik Lebria, and there's another level that is called kingship, Malchus, came down into the world of Bria, whatever. It really doesn't matter what it is. There was a unification of two spiritual worlds, spiritual world of Atzilus, emanations, and Bria, creations. That's also what it means, the level of repairing. Repairing, it's a whole huge thing in Kabbalah, doesn't really matter what it is right now. The point that the Rebbe is bringing is, there's a unification of different levels that project the energy of God. So here the main point to have in mind, not so much the names of Kabbalah and whatever the levels, the main point is Gan Eden is revelation of God. And we're supposed to be over there, actually. We would supposed to be there, and we were supposed to be there, and project God's light. Okay, we were kicked out, as the Rebbe is going to continue in a few minutes. So now we have to do something else. But just as in Gan Eden, there was a work of revealing God, in the Beis Hamikdash there was a work of revealing God, and not just in the Beis Hamikdash itself, rather that energy spread out to the whole world. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Lochen, therefore, Hayu Yisrael b'mayil elyoina. The Jewish people were in a very high level in the times of the first temple. And usually the work, the general work that the Jewish people used to do in the times of the first temple was to bring down, project God's light from above to below. And the refinement of the world was like automatic. Belikutei Torah, this is in a different book. Huye Ish Menucha, in that particular place, you can see more about this idea. So again, there's a projection of light that generates automatically refinement. That's one way of working. And there's refinement. No revelation of light. Refinement itself, you have to go work to refine the creation, so to speak. Ubezimna, the Ischarev Mikdesha, this is quoting the Zohar, and then at the times that the temple was destroyed, Itesa Istarachis, is like the divorce of a woman. When God got divorced, so to speak, from us, and he goes back to something that he quoted really long time ago, about this girl, don't look at me because I'm all burnt out, etc. So the Rebbe brought over there that there were two ways of understanding this. She was burnt out because there was such a big light that she got burnt, or the sun was not shining on her, so she was dark. But not because she is dark, rather there's no light, so she's dark. So the Rebbe is going back to this. We understood the temple was like an Eden, like paradise, projecting light. Wow, very nice. But we don't have the temple right now. So what's going on? So he continues. Shimsha istalik min le anahara. The sun removed and it's not shining anymore. Beyarda malchus be'ayin sarim levar. And that level that is called malchus, which is actually the Jewish people, the source of the souls of the Jewish people, it went down into the 70 ministers of the 70 nations to refine the world. Point. The Zehu, that's what it means, Geirushin. That first man was thrown out of Gan Eden. Thrown out of Gan Eden. Get out of here. First man was not prepared, was not ready for the work that represents the temple. Bring down light and project light. He couldn't do it. Forget it. So he was kicked out, thrown out of Gan Eden. And then Shiluchim, he was sent out, La'avodes Adama, to work the land. What does that mean? Levarer Birurim. You have to refine the world. So there are two different things. First of all, you're not able to be here because the place requires something you cannot do. So get out of here. Bye bye. Second point is, go work outside and refine the world outside for what? In a way that the lowest worlds, that means outside, so to speak, of Gan Eden, should be a proper place to receive the revelation of God. That's the two steps, so to speak, in what happened to the first man. He was kicked out and he was sent out. Two different things. Omnam, however, kol zelo yihaya b'mikre chas v'shalom. All of this was not just because it happened. Oh, look, this happened. God forbid. And the Rebbe brings now like three or four things that would take hours to explain each one of them. Forget it. It doesn't really matter what they are. But the Rebbe says everything is the same, actually. All these names that are actually like doctrines of Kabbalah, whatever, they're all the same. They all represent the same thing. Shvira Sakelim, the breaking of the vessels. Miyut Ayareach, the smalling, making smaller the moon. Chetet Tzadas, the sin of eating from the fruit of the first of a tree he wasn't supposed to eat. Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the temple. Hakol Inyan Echad, everything is the same. It's actually the same thing. It's the same idea, it's the same point. Different names, different levels of understanding, Kabbalah, not Kabbalah, Midrashim, I don't care. It's the same thing. Everything is the same. What does it mean is the same? Is the fact that we cannot bring down the light of God anymore. We were supposed to do that, but we can't. Because why? Shvira Sakelim, Yot HaYareach, whatever, put the name, call it whatever you want to call it, is saying the Rebbe. I don't care. It's the same. We can't do it anymore. Everything was revealed and known in the supreme knowledge of God. He knew it. He knew what was going to happen. whatever he knows does not force our free will. We anyway have free will, even if he knows what's going to happen. Everything was for the purpose of revealing a higher light. Revealing a higher light. So he knew what was going to happen. He knew first man was going to eat, and he knew first man was going to be thrown out and sent out, and all of this, he knew it. Why did it happen? In order to reveal a deeper level of God. Maybe, and it's just an example, it's not in the Maimar, it's not the subject of the Maimar, but maybe it's just an example, a teacher can like chew the food, so to speak, quote unquote, for the student, and the student will understand, or the teacher can quote unquote hide himself, just give a few points to the student and let the student work. This is exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. God leaving the first man in Gan Eden is like chewing for him everything. Everything is ready for you, everything is easy, everything, and it's going to be fine, and you just project more light and more light. Instead of that, God said, you know what, go work for your revelations, so to speak, for your connection. Go work for it. And when you work for it, it's going to be a much deeper thing than just if I give it out to you. And the idea behind all of this, the idea of Isran Ha'oir, this revelation of light, which is deeper than if men would have stayed in the Gan Eden. What's the whole point behind this? What's the idea behind it? What do you mean a deeper light? What does that mean? So the Rebbe explains. The point is like this. Even though this thing that we explained like longly, working the Gan Eden, it's a very high level. Wow, projecting the light of God and the Mikol Makem. However, Matan Torah lemaila mizeh. The giving of the Torah is higher than this. How does it work? The mitzvahs they are always reikosayu. He's quoting a midrash and a very long explanation that Hasidus gives on that midrash. The midrash, the Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, says, "Lereach shmanecha toivim shemen turak shmecha." The smell, the good smell. I don't know how the word exactly. The aroma, whatever. The aroma of your perfume is very nice. However, your oil is poured oil. This is what she says to him. Like, you put very nice perfumes, but I like the oil. What does that mean? And the Midrash says, that's comparing how Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, our forefathers, used to fulfill the commandments against, compared to, how we fulfill the commandments. Even though they fulfilled the commandments, their commandments were just like perfume. Perfume is not like a thing in itself. It's just a smell, a nice smell, but it's not the thing. Our commandments are like oil. It's the thing itself. That's what it's saying here. They are always, mitzvah, they are always reichus oil. The commandments that the forefathers used to fulfill, they were like smell. Just a smell of something, not the thing itself, just a smell. And the same thing you can say about the first man. Even though first man was given a number of commandments, so apparently there was a connection to God. Even in Gan Eden, he was commanded to do this, that, don't do this, don't do that. Shiva mitzvahs. That's only seven commandments. The seven commandments of the Noach, etc., etc. It's only seven things. Like, okay, you're in Gan Eden. It's nice, everything is ready, everything is fine, you're seeing God, but you just got seven things. If you're kicked out of Gan Eden, you can get much more. What do you want? Wait a second, I want to be in Gan Eden. Yeah, but I want more, but I want to be in Gan Eden. So, where are you? What do you want? So even though first man was given seven commandments, that's just Gan Eden and seven commandments, very nice, but I want more. So first man was thrown out of Gan Eden, point number one, because now you can't work here anymore. It's like a punishment, that I've said this clearly. And then you went sent out to refine the world. That's even better than just staying in Gan Eden with seven commandments. Go refine the world. This is the point of the Maimar, where the Rebbe is saying clearly, even though you have to learn it, but Rabbi saying clearly, Bnei Noach also have this idea of refining the world. It also applies to them, because God gave it to the first man, and of course, first man is the father of everybody else, and Rabbi is saying here, again, the first man was sent out in order to work the world, to refine it. V'yesh loimar, and we could even say, the avodasei gavoya mi'ha'ovis, the work of first man was even higher than the work of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why? Because first man was formed by the hands of God, and he was in Gan Eden, so he was in a very higher level even than Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They were not formed by God, and they were not in Gan Eden, so first man was really a high person. Mikol Makim, however, that's all before the giving of the Torah. Shemen Turak, after the giving of the Torah, there's a poured oil. What does that mean? Hamshacha Atzmis de Matan Torah. There's a essential projection of godliness into the world through Torah, through the giving of the Torah. Alei ze lemaida. Clearly, after the giving of the Torah, our commandments are higher than the avoid of the commandments that had the first man and Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc. Umatan Torah haya yedei Ashivu de Mitzrayim. And this is very interesting, a short line. The Rebbe is so short, but it's interesting. The Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah happened after being servants, slaves in Egypt. And because of the slavery, we claimed to God, like, save us, take it out of here. And that means something that the Midrash says, Main tachtonim boichim. The lower waters are crying. What is he talking about? When God in the second day separated from the higher waters and the lower waters in the creation, the Midrash says that lower waters complained. Really complained. What's the problem? Anan ba'inan levi kamen malka. They say, we want to be in front of God. What do you mean? The higher waters are in front of God and we are left down here? We want to be close to God. And if you ask me, this is exactly what happens with every single Ben Noach and Bas Noach, feels left out. Main tachtenim boichin, and that's part of the nature of creation, that the lower waters, whatever is far from God, naturally feels the will of being close to God. We want to be close to God. Some people feel it, some people don't. So people don't care. Okay, that's fine. But the nature of creation is that every single creature down here, so to speak, quote unquote, far from God, wants to be close. Wants to be close. Then again, if this is so, Andrev is going like back and forth with very technical ideas. If you're telling me that the commandments of our commandments after the giving of the Torah are higher than the commandments of the first man and Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc., etc., that means that the temple was higher than Gan Eden. In the previous paragraphs we compared, it's everything the same, you know, the temple, Gan Eden, projection of God. But since there's a commandment from God after the giving of the Torah to build the temple, that means that that commandment, fulfilling that commandment, is reaching higher than man in Gan Eden. Even though both of them are projections of God, however, it's higher after the giving of the Torah than before the giving of the Torah. Umikol makom, in any case, gam ze ein shleimus legamrei. Even that is also not completeness. Beis hamikdash shleim hamelech, David hamelech, everything is nice, but it's not complete. The Arabian Moisa Moshiach, Davke Kemitzas Rezenech, as we explained, just in the days of Moshiach, then we're going to fulfill the commandments just as God wants. So even in the Beis Hamikdash, in the temple, which is higher than Gan Eden, even Gan Eden, forget it, it's not, still not what God really wants. Uksiv Bey, and it's written about Moshiach, in the Yaskelavdi Meoid, my servant is going to be very successful and the Rebbe says me'oid, very successful. What does that mean, me'oid? Me'oid ois is Adam. The word me'oid, which means a lot, very successful, is the same letters as the name Adam, the first man. And in parentheses, also quoting a different discourse, Adam, David, Moshiach, and you also have the same letters of each one of these names, first man, David HaMelech, Moshiach, Mikol Makom Davka B'Moshiach Ne'mar Me'oid B'Ligvul. Even though Moshiach had a connection to Adam, to David, yeah, very nice, but it's only written about Moshiach that is going to be very successful. Yaskib Me'oid, a lot, B'Ligvul, without limits. Me'oid Misitra de Yaakov. This is something that the Zohar primarily says. This idea of Me'oid is from the side of Yaakov. That is, through Yaakov. It has to be through Yaakov, through the Jewish people, through the learning of Torah, through the giving of Torah, etc., etc. Tiferes de Atik, whatever that means, it's a very high and lofty level. The Das, from that level that is called Das, it doesn't matter, it's bringing the correspondence to Kabbalah, whatever the case is. Mislavesh boy bechinas primius Atik, there is going to be invested this other level called the most primus, the most innermost level of Attic, whatever that means. And also Blimetzarim, also the Yaakov means he has no limits, he's going to have infinite inheritance. Okay, he's just bringing different proofs of the idea that when Moshiach comes, through being a man, a Jew, learns Torah and builds the temple and all the conditions the Mashiach has to have, through that we're going to really have the essence of God revealed down here. Basically, that's what it's saying. The Beis HaMikdash nikes gam ken nachala. Also, the temple is called inheritance. Aval nachala bli metzarim davka leos. But an infinite inheritance, that's only in the future with Mashiach. Ushleimus zois, yal yedei a gimel isgalus, agalus, I'm sorry, agalus. And this plenitude, this completeness is going to be only through golus, only through exile. As it's written, holoich yelech, meshech azora, it's written in the Psalms, holoich yelech uvochoi, he is going around and walking, crying, and carrying meshechazar, like a bag with seeds. What are those seeds? Neshamos Yisrael. Those are the souls of the Jewish people, meshechazara. There's a bag with seeds. That means yiridus haneshama beguf v'nefesh habamis. The descent of the soul in a body and an animal soul. Like, it seems like very cryptic and very different concepts, but it's very basically saying something very basic again. I'm repeating the word basic like 10 times, so it doesn't seem so basic. But it's saying something very basic. Look, people have to fulfill commandments. There has to be a Jewish people. There has to be exile. Through the exile, through the toil and the effort, etc., etc., Moshiach is coming. And when Moshiach comes, we're going to have really, really what Hashem wants, projecting light even better than in the times of Gan Eden. This is what he's saying. He's just saying it in a very cryptic way. This is only happening, the soul descending in the body and refining the body, etc., etc., in the times of exile. The godly soul hides itself, itself in the animal soul to refine it. This is a descent. And how does it come that there's a elevation through this descent to refine? That's why the verse says he's walking crying. What does that mean, crying? It has to be a very hard work. That's why it says crying. Like when you work a lot, you start crying, you say, I can't anymore. That's what it means. Golus is a situation in which you have to really work hard to the point of crying, so to speak, and then comes Geula, so to speak, the redemption. That's why it says, continues the Rebbe, Maim Tachtenim Boichim, is going back again to the same Midrash, the lower waters are crying. It's connecting like the cry of somebody that feels far from God is the same cry of hard work that you have to actually reach the point of crying, of how much hard work you have to refine yourself and to refine the world that is around you. Gama bechia ala yerida, even crying because your soul descended into this world. That's why it says, al nahar es babel, zachrin es tzion, that whole psalm is talking about the Jewish people in Babylon, that they were crying in the rivers of Babylon, remembering when they were in Eretz Israel. That means, gol es ashchina. That means there's an exile of the presence of God itself. It's not just that we are in exile because we're not in Eretz Israel, or we're not doing the job that Adam HaRishon had of projecting. No. God is in exile. He himself, he went with us to exile. And this will bring, like the end of the verse, we're going to sing, come back to Eretz Israel, singing, etc. Simcha ba'amia esef. That's the happiness that comes after being depressed or loneliness, whatever. Chokmas b'chutz taroina, that means, that's another verse. The wisdoms outside will sing. That's what the verse means. But over here it's saying that when you're outside, in Golos, in exile, and you still learn Torah and you still fulfill the mitzvahs, that brings taroina, that brings praise of God. Rinina deraisa, singing of Torah, ha'ama yoshvim b'choshech, ro'u or gadol chule. That means redemption. The people that were sitting, it's another verse, the people that were sitting in the darkness, they will see light, a very high light, and they will go back to Eretz Israel, etc., etc. Bezeu gam ken eicha yoshva, and this is also going back to the first part of the Maimon, the first sentence, actually, of the Maimon, of the whole discourse. This is what it means, eicha yoshva. She was sitting, how is she sitting alone, etc., etc. Eiko. The Rebbe is dividing this word into two parts. A means where, and koi, it's a level. It's going to explain. Siluk ayud, there's a remove, so it gets removed, the yud, which means the revelation of God. Ko yarat. Through this level of ko, whatever that means, he's going to explain when I mean it, went down. So you have a word that is called eicha. Eicha means how. That's what it means. And it refers to actually two words. A means the revelation of God, because that's a yud. A yud is the first letter of the name of God, of four letters. Ko means actually, he's going to say it, but means the soul, the source of the souls of the Jewish people, malchus, kingship, whatever, the Kabbalistic thing. When you separate the A, the revelation of God, from Ko, Ko goes down. Automatically goes down. This goes back to something he explained before. Since the sun is not shining on her, she looks dark. Is she dark? No. But the sun is not shining. That's why she's dark. That's why she looks dark, so to speak. This is what it's saying in the first line. Through taking out the revelation of God, which is the Yud, the first level of the name of God, there's a descent on Ko, on that level that is called Ko. Umizlabeshes ve'ayin sanim, and it gets this level invested in the 70 ministers. That means Jewish people spread out through the whole world and under the kingship, so to speak, of other people. Jezeu a yud aleph. This is what it means. Aleph yud, which is the first two letters of Eicha, which refer to the name of God and the revelation of God, etc., etc. From that, you transform it into yud aleph, 11. What does that mean, 11? The Zohar says there are 11 of 11 crowns of impurity. So it's the same letters, but from a holy thing, you turn it around, and it becomes an impure thing. And that's why Badad Yashev, that's why Yerushalayim is sitting just by itself, alone, so to speak, far from God. Golus Ashchina, there's an exile of the presence of God. Ach al yedei avoida bizman ha-golus naseh badad lemaliusa. However, through the work of refining the world, etc., etc., in the times of exile, there's a turnaround on the other side, on a virtue level, being alone, on a good level, so to speak. What does that mean? Havaye badad yanchenu. As it says that God Himself will lead the Jewish people. What does that mean to be alone? You can be alone because you were thrown out and you're alone in the corner. Charles, get out of here in the corner. Or you can be alone because God is leading you alone. Oh, so that's good. You're alone with God, so to speak. So this is what the Rebbe is explaining. First of all, there was a revelation of God in Gan Eden. Good. But we sinned, whatever, and there's Yud Aleph. Instead of Aleph Yud, Yud Aleph, 11 crowns of impurity, whatever, Golus, exile, and through us working the world and refining the world, we turned that thing into, again, something good. Being alone because you were thrown out, you turn it out, and it's being alone with God, which is a nice thing. You're alone with God. But that, unto God, as it says, that God is one, He is alone, so to speak. Havaye badad, Hashem is one. Zole gavi hatika. Okay, it's a whole mystical thing, doesn't matter. Badad ein Yaakov, like the Jewish people along with God also, it's referring to that. Meoid misitad Yaakov, the same thing he quoted before. Like a lot from the side of Yaakov has to be a Jewish people, there has to be Torah, there has to be fulfilling mitzvahs, commandments. That refines the world and that brings up, so to speak, everything again and brings down the essence of God, etc. The same thing, this is going to answer one of the first questions that the Rebbe asked in the beginning of the discourse. Eicha lemaliusa. There's a concept of this word, Eicha, how, in a good sense. Eicha esa, like Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Eicha esa levadi, how can I carry just by myself, etc. Eicha tire, that's another verse that she is going to, tire is like a pastor when he works with the sheep and he takes the sheep over here, over there, yeah. ביציאת מצרים ארוך להם שולחן מן על ידי הטל. In the coming out of Egypt, I will prepare for them a table to eat. That means the manna that came out from heavens, על ידי טל, through the tal is rocío in Spanish, I don't know how to say this in English. When you go out in the fields in the morning very early, there's a like liquid over there in the field, that's called tal. That means another mystical level, Gibel Rishon Zde'atik. I know this last part is very weird. I know that. But don't worry. Bechinas Badat, whatever. To be enough. Zewat Mia Eicha. This is the question, actually, that Irmiyahu is asking. Rabasi Am, that Yerushalayim, which was full of so many people, etc., etc., Ribu Yishalkus, lots of different levels, etc., etc., Eicha Yavali Bechinas Badat. How can she come to be one with God? Alone with God, unto God, He is one and you're one with Him. This is through being like a widow. Not literally a widow, because God doesn't die. He's our husband, He doesn't. Okay, but like a widow, that means that the movement of God is not true, it's not complete. Rather, He's hiding from us, in order for us to bring a higher light. And through that the Jewish people work their job, do their job in the times of exile. Through these they're going to be one with God, for sure together with God, this the eye of Yaakov, whatever. This is the end of the maimon. I know that the last part is very weird and mystical, I know that. But basically, what he said in the last part is this whole thing of Golus, of being away from God, being far from God, being spread out within all the nations, etc., etc., that's with a purpose. And the purpose is to refine the world in order to make it ready to receive a higher revelation of God, even higher than the revelation that was in Gan Eden. And it is a huge, huge chidush novelty in this discourse that is saying clearly, not just the Jewish people were sent out, so to speak, from Gan Eden to work the earth, the land, whatever, rather every single human being was sent out to work and to refine.